So, hello, and welcome to a new episode of Honest and Mean.
And not too obscene. At this point we might as well change it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's just, it's easy.
Okay, but you know what I mean, guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's alright, though. I think...
I tried.
Well, I think that they appreciate the fact that you try, right?
Like, yeah, every time.
Yeah.
Every time, and every time I get equally as excited that I'm gonna get it right.
I know, I can see it in your eyes every time you say it. You're like,
and the focus, you know.
So this is part two of our probably three episode series of the 36 questions that lead to love. And in the last episode, we went through about 10 and then got to the 11th one and found out that was a bit too deep.
And it would have taken a bit longer. Than the other questions, maybe.
Yeah.
So you decided to keep it for this one.
Yes.
Yeah, so what's the question we're starting on someone?
Before we get there, here's a little backstory as to about these questions, right? And you can find this in a New York Times article by Daniel Jones, who explains the sort of the 36 questions. And it's basically, it's a study... that conducted by psychologist Arthur Aaron and others, that explores whether intimacy between two strangers can be accelerated by having them ask each other a specific series of personal questions. The idea is that mutual vulnerability fosters closeness. Basically,
right, so this is more for strangers, it's not for people, let's say, that you know, so it wouldn't necessarily work for somebody that is already your friend, and if you ask these questions, there's a chance you'll fall in love. That's my impression.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I reckon it's just, it's also, you know, it's because so mutual vulnerability, even with friends, is not as common, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you never know.
Okay, so this is kind of like a push for people to be more vulnerable.
Yeah.
So I presume it could be different questions as well, as long as they kind of create an environment when you have to be vulnerable.
Maybe. So when this study was made, they came up with these 36 questions. You know,
did they test any other questions?
I'm sure they did. I didn't actually look into the study itself.
We have to.
No,
it would be interesting to look whether they did test other questions, and how do you actually measure if the question is effective or not?
Yeah, that's true.
Because the only time you would be able to check this is... when you did have strangers that later on, let's say, were together, were a couple, a long-term couple.
Mm. Yeah, that's that.
I'm a bit skeptical as to the accuracy of this, you know?
You know what? We're just doing it for the bands.
Yeah, but it's interesting because if we're giving backstory, now I started thinking whether this can actually be measured in any way, shape, or form.
If it's like, there must be something in there that says it has led to...
So
35% more likely chance
of people, more likely than not.
All that.
On balance of probabilities.
Yeah, hashtag correlation, not causation. You know what I mean?
Like, yes. Yeah. Right, shall we jump back to our questions then?
Yes, question 11. Question 11 was, take 4 minutes and tell your partner your life story in as much detail as possible.
Right. Do we want to go for 4 minutes?
I reckon we can condense it to, like...
a minute.
A minute and a half.
A minute and a half.
Let's give you that, yeah.
Right. My life story. Ooh. This is the question. When you meet someone and you have only a minute and a half, what do you want them to know?
Right.
Okay,
right,
so where I would start is... I was a very active kid. I was doing a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
I was loving life, I was singing for the army, I was playing my violin, I was doing my dancing, my little acting, and I've done that since I was 7 until I was 16, and then I have moved over to Bristol.
Right.
I did my GCSEs, I did year 10 and year 11 in 1 year, and then I decided to go to college. I did all sciences, but in there I thought, I would like to study law. Actually, I was undecided between law, something science related. Either it was chemistry, but at some point it was psychology. A lot of people do question whether psychology is a science, or it's like a sub-science almost. But that's besides the point. Or music, whether I would like to go into music school.
Performing arts.
Performing more of either jazz vocal or violin.
Right.
I took my LNAT. I got my grades. I had a decision between LSE or King's.
Right.
And I was like, King's looks kind of better, you know. I didn't know why, but I felt that, okay, let's go to King's. I went to King's, and I've been at King's ever since.
Damn, Daniel. Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like I took it from the very educational point of view.
I was just going to say, you didn't give me much about you, more about what, you know, how things unfolded, you know what I mean?
I feel like it's the easiest thing when people are like, oh, so tell me about yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing that has stayed in common all throughout the years was when I was, I think around like 6, I would always ask my mom whether I can cook for her. But the only thing I could make was I would take cocoa powder, put it in a bowl and add sugar to it and then stir it and say, okay, that's done. And I would do it every single time and I would throw it away every single time. But my mom would let me do it every single time, right, which I did. Right. But then when I got older, I would make it a thing for the summer to test out different cakes. So I would go on a website, search for recipes and then test them over the summer. So I would make, let's say, I don't know, like 15 cakes over the summer. And which doesn't seem like that much over, let's say, 2 months, but it is actually a lot because it's like more than a cake a week. But a cake is a big cake if somebody doesn't like it. So it will be a lot of food to eat. Yeah, and I've enjoyed baking ever since. I enjoyed cooking ever since. And I've enjoyed eating ever since. Mm. What about you?
Okay, life story. It's funny because, you know, this is supposed to be about making people vulnerable to each other. Mm. But we're pretty much just throwing this off onto the internet.
True.
Let me see, life story in a minute and a half. Okay. Kid born in Saudi. Saudi dad, Egyptian mom, right? So sort of in between both in that sense. I was always a smart kid, you know. Street smart, you know, book smart comes with time, right? But street smart. I know what I was doing. I was never sort of, but because I was, because I had, you know, a different culture in me, so my accent was sort of mixed in between two, and I looked different a little bit, you know, sort of more North African than others, right? And because I was slightly bigger in terms of my size, I got bullied quite a lot growing up. But I wasn't the sort of like go home and cry bully. I was sort of like, you know, angry type of, you know, not the emo teen phase. No, as in like, you bully me, I'm probably going to clench your fist and we're going to get into a fight.
And how old were you then? How old is
quite that? Quite young. I don't remember, but quite young. And then, and then at some point, I don't know, it's just sort of clicked with me that it's just not worth it, you know? So many assholes in this world, and I'm just giving them what they want, you know? I wouldn't say in an instant, but I've taught myself to be on the completely other side of the spectrum from super angry to super mellow, which a lot of people still find a bit weird, you know.
So not quiet, but just very
mellow, yeah.
Kind of like quiet, distant from it, yeah.
And then, so that's sort of, if I had to say, you know, massive change in my life that led to where I am today, that would probably be it. Mm-hmm. How I ended up here was just basically my mom telling me a story about how she wanted to become a lawyer growing up, but her dad told her, no, that's a shitty profession, and you should become a doctor, which she is now, and a great one too. But I don't know, that sort of stuck with me, so I just followed it through, which is quite interesting, right?
It is, yeah. It is.
Yeah. My mom plays a big part of my life. Only, like, you know, as in, she doesn't know it's quite that deep, and I don't make it out to be quite
but
that
for
deep.
But you know.
I do know. Appreciate her greatly. That would like that's probably, you know, in a minute and a half, probably a bit longer now, what I would say is, you know, where my life is at, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
What will be interesting is to ask this question in like 10 years time,
yeah,
and see what different things you would mention, and whether you would highlight different things, and kind of looking back, what was actually significant.
For sure,
you know,
for sure.
Look back what actually made an impact.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
So you and Deep, I
would
very much
like,
hi, it's a networking event.
Hi, it's a networking.
I have 2 minutes, and let me tell you what I've done. Right, shall we move on?
Yeah, let's do it, What's next on this list? Question 12.
If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
Fucking hell.
So any quality or ability?
To be honest, like me on the bed waking up tomorrow, I'd probably be like, I just want to teleport to where I'm supposed to go, you know?
That applies to, oh yeah.
But you know what I'd probably do actually that probably help is, so I'm thinking about ability more than I'm thinking about quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need to think about quality a little bit more to sort of give that answer. But in terms of ability, the ability to stop time. Right.
Would you want to do that?
I mean, like, if I need to be somewhere at 10 and I need to leave at 9 and it's 8:50, then I'd stop time, sleep, wake up, do my shit.
Oh, that would be perfect for me.
Right?
When I say I'm going to arrive at 9 and I'm here at midnight,
yeah,
I could do that.
There you go, yeah.
Question is, if you were to stop time, you would stop time for yourself. Would it stop the time for everyone else? You know what I mean? Because if it was only for you, that would be useless. But if you could control time of everyone else,
well,
that's
so
not
that's
fair.
The point, right? No, but I'm taking time as like a standard, right? So this is everyone shares the same time.
Yes, but let's say you freeze it, but somebody else doesn't want to freeze it because they want, let's say they're excited for a date, and they want the time to go faster, right? You
right,
freeze
right,
it, and
right.
Somebody's like, wait, why has it been
8:50? No, fuck
them. But that wouldn't work.
No, but yeah, that's fair. I don't know, in terms of quality... I don't know, I feel like, you know, you can always improve on so many things, it's just difficult to pick one out, you know?
I can think of one, actually.
Yeah?
I know, would it be a skill or a quality? No, it wouldn't be a quality.
Don't matter at this point.
So the skill that I would want to have is have 100% certainty whenever I meet you that I know straight away whether you're a snake or not. So you know how sometimes you feel like that person is off, but I can't put a finger on it. I don't
right.
know what it is. I would like to be able to tell within 100% certainty, yes, you're a snake, so that I don't waste my time. And I don't waste my time on those, like, you know what? At the end of the day, they are a good person. At the end of the day, they are not too bad, but they have done this, this, and this.
Mm.
You know? So if I knew already that they were a snake, I would know how to interpret everything they do.
That's fair.
Yeah?
I think that's difficult, though, because I think people are 100% anything, you know what I mean?
No, Salman, but you know, at the end of the day, the base will be either you have good intentions or you have bad intentions.
Right.
I can have good intentions and be 5 hours late, and you will know that I did it not out of being like, out of disrespect, out of thinking
right.
that I am a bad bitch. I did it just because I have issues with keeping time, right? I have issues with getting up on time. As you have seen today, I was trying to wake up to 2 decimal places.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. So yeah, I would want to know that whether the kind of baseline to them is that they genuinely have good intentions.
Mm.
Yeah, I would want to know that. So then I could act accordingly.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and that would also save me time on thinking, oh, I probably misinterpreted that. Oh, I probably overthinking.
Right, right,
I probably
right,
am
right,
the
right,
one that is
right,
wrong.
Right.
No, it would save so much time.
Mm.
Yeah, that.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's definitely what I would want to have. Mm.
Alright, question 13, hopefully it's not an unlucky one. If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, and the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
Oh!
Boom, boom, boom.
The truth about me? So we're not talking anything, what I'm going to be doing in 20 years?
No, you could, so it could tell you anything. Crystal ball could tell you anything.
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go for something deep. Because I could go for something like, I would hope that it would show me what type of profession I should go into.
Right.
What type of profession I should go into to be kind of 100, no 100%, but as happy as I could be and as kind of suited for as I could be. But the thing that I would want to know is what would my parents kind of hope for me to do that they never actually tell me to do because they don't want me, they don't want to kind of almost impose their view on me.
Right, right.
Not impose my their view, but for example, something that they regret that I do or something that they regret that I don't do just about the, maybe the way I act, I would want to see that.
Right.
Yeah, so that I could act accordingly, because those things of like, oh, I went and did the wrong degree, you can go and change that, but with people that are, your parents are getting older, the time is, like, your time, even though my parents are young, it is still the case of my parents are getting older, no younger, you know?
Right.
So I would hope that because I'm already, like, 21, I can be making decisions, that I would make decisions that would kind of be in line with what they want me to be doing. And I don't mean, oh, they want me to be a doctor instead of a lawyer. It's more of the behaviors I have, what actually annoys them.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
what upsets
right,
them, and they don't tell me.
Right.
What about you?
I don't know. Like, the first question was, you know, as in, if you could have dinner with anyone, who would it be? And I said, my future self.
Oh,
yes. To know if I fucked up anything. I feel like if I had a crystal ball, I'd probably look at the same thing, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah, be like, okay, so where did I go wrong, and what can I do to fix it? Is the, yeah.
But when you say, what have I done wrong, do you have any particular area of your life in question? For
no.
example, relationships or jobs?
Right. No, nothing specific. It's just like me in, I don't know how many, in what, 50 years,
mm-hmm.
What do I regret?
Right.
Right. Whether it be relationships
or
mm-hmm. jobs or, you know, or something I did, you know.
You would want to know.
I'd want to know.
Fair
yeah,
enough.
I'd want to know.
But remember when you were saying you're grateful, we also had a question on the things you're grateful for.
Right.
And he said for the relationships you formed.
Yeah.
And I asked whether it was the bad ones as well.
Yeah.
So do you not think that the mistakes or the regrets will be a part of the person you became?
Mm-hmm.
And they will be quite important in the way you developed?
I think that's
that
fair.
You wouldn't hope to just have a smooth kind of path?
I think that's fair. But I think it's mostly if someone did something to me,
mm-hmm.
right, then I'm grateful for it.
But
if I
did it
to someone else,
right,
and it's
right.
you know, something terrible,
it's
or at least I perceive it to be terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It's way more difficult for you to deal with it.
Yeah.
Got you.
All right. Next question. This meme is just... I'm going to tag the meme.
I have not seen that.
I'm going to put the link in the description.
Guys, check it out.
Yeah.
Right, next question. Question 14. Is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time, and why haven't you done it?
Oh, damn.
I feel like this is one of those things that you almost don't admit to yourself.
Yeah.
Because you've been hoping
yeah.
to do it, but you've done nothing about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I can imagine why this can lead people to get very close.
That's fair. I don't want to give you, like, you know, the classic, you know, I wanted to, I don't know, learn an instrument, but I never got to do it, because, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Which is true. is true.
So it is, okay, so that's true, too, on that kind of level of, I don't have to give you too much detail.
Yeah,
I will still answer the question. What about...
something deep.
What's something that if you said to other people,
yeah.
they would kind of laugh? That it's not that they will laugh because it's funny, but laugh because they almost can't see you do that?
Yeah, I fair enough, but I feel like, you know, as in I'm not the type of person to have something I want to do and not do it, you know? Like, it's, one, I was born stubborn, you know, thanks, Mom. Yeah, she hates it. and two,
is
I'm...
Is she stubborn?
Woo!
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot worse than I am. She'd never admit it, but...
Oh, so, she, so you have it from her?
Yeah. But, like, so I wanted to write a book, and I'm doing it.
Yeah?
I wanted to record a podcast, and I'm doing it.
Yes.
Shout
out to Max.
Yeah. You know, like, I wanted to... I legit wanted to build, like, a guitar from scratch. And I'm doing it, you know? I sort of have the parts and everything, and I just need to work on it. You know, as in anything I have an inclination to do...
Yeah.
I will try and do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Whether that be something like that, or something even a bit more personal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to ask this girl out, I probably will do it, you know?
Like, okay, we'll definitely do it, ladies. Watch out.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
That's my answer.
Right. For me, I don't think I want to give too much detail.
Okay.
Well, I can give detail, but I feel like it's... For me, the thing was always when I was doing something, or when I am doing something, to take it to the next level. But the next level is kind of borderline of I'm doing this for fun to I'm doing this for real.
Right.
And sometimes, often... Mm. Well, sometimes, often. Oftentimes... Oh, shout out to an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
1 second, guys. Let it go past. So I feel like it would be... taking something to the next step when the next step is actually taking it for real, that this sometimes can be something that I would hope to do, I would, let's say, dream of doing, as the question asks. But because I'm doing other things that are kind of the main focus. So, you know, when you go to uni, and uni is pretty much your focus, right?
Yeah.
So whatever you do is, you do it for fun, but you will never, well, a lot of people would, but I didn't, take something to the next step, which I would hope to do at some point.
Hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'll give you that, I think. Oh, I hate this question.
Why?
This is like your typical interview question.
Go then.
What is the greatest accomplishment of your life?
Oh, I can answer that.
Really? Yeah.
Can we split it to like very deep and very...
Non-deep,
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So non-deep one would be... graduating from music school when I was 16, and because I started when I was 7,
right.
And I've done music school alongside my normal school, so I would go to primary school, finish at 3, and I would start music school at 4 till 8.
Okay.
And sometimes I would start at like 3 till 9.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So the reason it was the biggest accomplishment because I kept going for 10 years.
Okay.
And it was always a thing of, I would be in school and people were complaining that there is a test the day after when they would finish at 3 and go home and revise. Whereas I knew I would start at 4 and be home at around 9:30, and then I would revise for school.
Okay.
And I did that for 10 years. And I never thought of myself as, oh God, I have so little time. I could do so many things.
Okay.
Like my day just seemed way longer because I was able to manage my time better. Another accomplishment was doing my GCSEs here, because when I moved here, my English was, I don't want to say terrible, but it was terrible. And I moved here at the end of August, and I had to do my speaking and listening in October.
Okay.
And my speaking and listening was me translating words, trying to memorize what the word means to be able to do my story.
I see.
For my speaking and listening.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing very well on it. And I don't ever say I've done very well on something, but kind of looking back, I did do very well for the kind of circumstances in which I was. So that was my accomplishment, definitely. But life-wise, I don't want to say that it's an accomplishment, but I do think I am quite open. And sometimes people do things and tell me things that I thought I would react to differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I am able to say, well, you did that. The fact that I don't agree with this doesn't mean I can't still tell you my opinion on it and give you advice almost from your perspective. So looking at how you live your life, I'm able to say I know will be what I think would be best for you, not based on my qualities, but based on your morals and your rules and the things you try to stick by in life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that was 2 minutes of gassing myself up.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
All right. So I don't know. Non-deep one.
Yeah.
Right. Which is slightly deep in itself, I think. I guess everywhere I go since, you know, I've sort of switched to being mellow Salman,
mm-hmm.
right, has always been about you know, at least for the people around me, to create a sort of a you know, positive, safe place for them, at least with me, right?
Right.
And I feel like I'm able to do that, and that's something, you know, sort of big for me, you know?
So do you think you do it actively? Is it always something that you do think about, or do you do it automatically that you don't even think about?
No, I think at this point it's just become second nature.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
But has, do people point it out?
They don't need to, you know? Like.
But do they ever do that?
I mean, I sort of like, when I say they don't need to, I mean, they might, I just don't pay attention to it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That was quite deep. So I don't know, like a deep one would be, I don't know. I guess it'd just be, I'm just going to stick to that, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm just going to stick to that.
I feel like it's turning into like a self-appreciation podcast as well.
Tell
I like
me
that.
About it. Tell
I do
me
like
about
that.
Hashtag self-care.
Yeah. You know, it's, I feel like often the questions you ask, they can be, they can make you feel vulnerable because they're asking for details from your past, for family, and for things that will make you have to open. But sometimes admitting that, you know what, at the end of the day, I'm doing well in life, can be very difficult because you don't know if the other person is not going to take it as if you are cocky.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
And that is difficult to do as well. Right, our questions, there we go. Question 16. Oh, this is not, there's no one that can lead to us hyping ourselves up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you value most in a friendship?
Ah, interesting.
I can think of one straight away.
Let me think. I think I value truthfulness, honesty, more than anything.
Honesty, as in if something is up with them or between you two?
Well, any sort of
honesty.
Yeah,
okay.
Just honesty generally, you know? And like, I could think of Billy Joel just going, honesty, you know? Like, yeah, that's it.
Like, in all levels, honesty.
Yeah.
Okay. For me, I would say loyalty. Loyalty in the sense of, not that you're gonna go and get another friend. That's
what I mean, guys. Yeah.
It's not like I cheated on my friend because I got another friend. It's more of loyalty of, I know that at the end of the day, when I need you, you are there.
Right.
And I don't mean it in you have to do massive things for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you ever had that, but I do have it. And that's kind of a vulnerable thing to say. You want to, you know, when you're sometimes just thinking, oh, I'm feeling shit. Like something annoyed me so much. And you want to have those few people that you hit up and you can just chat shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know when sometimes you're like, well, I can't hit up this one because they pissed me off about something very similar.
Right.
Because they let me down in something very similar. So I can't tell them this because they are partly guilty of doing that as well. I can't hit up them because they do something similar. Well, I'm not on that deep level with them. Well, let's hit up my mom, you know?
Right.
You know
right,
what,
I
mean?
See what you mean? Yeah.
So the people that you can genuinely know that even if they upset you about things, if they let you down because they didn't turn up, overslept, small things like this, that at the end of the day, they are loyal in the sense of, you know, you can rely on them. Because
yeah.
I didn't want to say they were reliable because I'm not reliable because I don't turn up on time. I do say I'm going to do something and I don't end up doing it. I never turn up even though I was meant to turn up. I turn up a month later. So I'm not reliable in that sense.
Right.
But I would hope that somebody would consider me loyal in the sense of, you know, you can hit me up. And I won't be, for example, questioning if a small example of being hit up, for example, to get somebody needs money, right?
Mm.
You don't ask why, what for, when am I going to get back? You just say, what's your account number, you know? And you just do it.
Yeah?
Yeah. So things like this, that there's no small things that they do that is like, oh God, I can't rely on you, man.
Mm.
You know?
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Sorry, I could have condensed that. But that's something that I'm super, yeah, that's something that is very important to me. And this is something that annoys me a lot, that people claim that you can rely on them on anything, or you know, I will do anything for you, straight after they messed up by not doing something very basic that they could have done.
Right.
Mm. And they later on the excuses of it didn't even cross my mind. It's like, how come did it not cross your mind? It's so obvious. and it's not the first time. If it's the first time, fair enough. But if I already said that it's something that is important to me and you still haven't done it,
yeah,
when the next opportunity comes, it's like, oh God, man. And unfortunately, then you kind of go the level lower and you're like, okay, cool, we're just cool, but nothing deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad.
Yeah. That's fair.
Right. Sorry, I should have made it shorter.
No, that's all right. I think we can push this another 5 minutes so that the next episode isn't 50.
Okay.
So what is your most treasured memory?
Oh, that's... No, things like this are gonna make you cry, man.
The next one's even worse.
No, this is... No, this is sad times, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it will be sad times.
I'll tell you what, let's do the next, this one and the next one together.
Okay, what's the next one?
What is your most terrible memory? So treasured and terrible.
The terrible... Oh, the terrible memory is possibly when it's a turtle story. So I used to have
I know this story, actually.
You know the story, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So it was a story about my turtle. I used to have a turtle and we were having repairs in my house and my dad always repaired our flat. He did everything. So he took off the radiators of the walls because he was painting them, refreshing the paints. And I used to have that turtle that would not always be in its little house. It would crawl around. So one time it was crawling around when the repairs were going on,
mm-hmm.
and my dad leaned on the radiator and the radiator fell and the turtle was behind that. So the radiator smashed the turtle and it snapped in half.
Fuck.
But it didn't smash to the point when it was like it would die.
Right.
It survived for I think for like 6 months after that.
Oh,
so it was fine for a very long time. And I remember coming back from school being so excited to see my turtle. And I asked where it was and my dad said, don't worry about it, just go and practice playing the violin, because I had a class.
Right.
I had my lesson in the evening. So I went to play and I was practicing and crying because I knew something was off. And then he showed me the turtle and the turtle was taped together. And we took it to the vet and it was okay. It was eating, but after 6 months it passed away. But to not make it sound like it was the cause of death, my dog bit it as well.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, but it did it before that. And what makes it even more sad is the fact that the turtle was born without, like, it had only half a leg.
Right.
The back leg. Yeah, but it was so fast. Excuse me, it was so fast. Oh, this actually makes me sad. Yeah, so it was a turbulent story.
Mm.
Now I start thinking, is this legal to put it on?
What do you mean?
Poor turtle.
Yeah, sure, why not? Like a trigger warning? Yeah.
No, but it's sad.
Yeah, it is quite sad.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the terrible memory. Good memories? I feel like good memories would be any... I don't want to say anything big. They are, I would say, small things.
Yeah, yeah.
Small things, yeah. Like treasure memories, things that I do. For example, I go to church at 7 and after church, so it's like evening time, my mom takes me and my sister for like a ride. And that's literally something that we look forward to. It's like, woohoo, we're going to go for a ride after church. Doesn't matter that it's the same kind of routes, the same things. That makes me so excited. Or when my mom goes... I'm going to the Polish shop. Do you want to come with? I will get my shit ready so quick. And I'm going to the Polish shop. I don't know what it is, but that trip is so exciting. It's like, I'm going to a Polish shop, yes. Because it's also in an area that we don't go to that often. So when you go to that area, you know you're going to stop by Aldi too. You know you're going to go stop by Tesco too. And I get so excited. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'll start with the bad, most terrible memory. I don't particularly have one. But again, like I was saying earlier, I got bullied for a lot of years in my childhood. So that there's a lot of terrible memories there. And I'm going to just leave it at that. You know.
Okay.
The problem is, I it feels like when you ask me what's terrible and what's treasured, it's like having this archive, you know, like two boxes. Oh, this is a nice memory. Let me throw it in there. But I just don't have that, you know? I'm sort of like... I like to live the moment as it comes. and then once it comes and it's gone, then it's gone, right? Like I don't take so I don't take photos a lot, you know?
Don't, true.
Yeah, because I'm never gonna look at them again, you know. It's not the same.
True.
Yeah, so to me it's like the good comes when it comes and the bad comes when it comes. There's no memory I'd single out as being the most good or the most bad, you know?
But do you not also think that if something is that terrible, you probably try to push it away? So you won't suddenly think, when I ask you, you won't be like, oh yeah, that's that one. It's like you push it so far away that you don't think about it and you don't want to think about it.
Oh no, for sure. But that doesn't mean I sort of can't think about it.
Okay, yeah? Fair enough.
You know, and I've had, you know, a lot of sort of terrible experiences. I've had a, you know, toxic ex-girlfriend, you know, like...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, there's just nothing I can single out as saying that's terrible, you know?
Fair enough.
Yeah, even things like a loss of life, you know? It comes at that time, and then, you know, after a while, it, you know, it's gone now, the terrible memory, and then things start to improve, right?
Yeah, but things like this are... I feel like everybody will deal with them differently.
That's fair.
And, you know, when people say, oh, something terrible happened... And you ask them what happened, and they tell you, and you think, wait, what?
Yeah.
And you say, that's terrible? You know, because we do have different, almost perceptions of what is actually terrible.
Yeah.
Based on, so for example, for someone to lose something, you know, like a physical item, that's terrible. For me,
I lose shit, to be honest.
No, but I lose things so much.
Right.
But when I was younger, I remember I lost a towel, and it was a towel that was left behind after my, somebody that was related to my grandma.
Right.
I cried so much after that towel. Not because it was a towel, but because I knew that there was not that many items that were left after her.
Yeah.
And grandma's, I was like, towel. What have I done? So what I've... But the thing is, the only reason I left it is because I lost something else that morning and I was thinking about it so much. I was so worried.
Right.
So I wasn't focused and I left another thing. I was after my swimming classes. And that was just like, why? I lost one thing and then I lost another thing, but now when I look back, it was a towel.
Yeah.
Like, why? Yeah. Why would I even...
That's fair.
Yeah. Right, shall we keep going or shall we... I feel like we should stop on this and start the next episode.
That's
on
fair.
The question we will leave off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've pushed this sort of
a little
over
bit,
our
yes.
own limit.
Right.
On that note, what are your song recommendations?
Ooh. I would say... A soundtrack, it will be a whole soundtrack to John Wick 3, as disappointing as the movie was.
It wasn't, it was just a bunch of glass breaking, basically. That was the movie.
Well, the movie, okay, the movie wasn't disappointing as a movie, it was disappointing as a continuation of John Wick.
That's fair.
If it was a single movie, I would probably have enjoyed it more. Mm. Would I go and see it again? Yes. Mm. For the sound effects, for the fight scenes, I did enjoy it, but it wasn't as good. And there was a point when I thought, wait, hang on. Where's Denzel? Because I thought it was Equalizer at some point. This is how confused... Yeah.
Nice.
This is how confused I was. Because the storylines are not the same.
No,
but the action...
Yeah.
When you have fight scenes, yeah.
The same character build, you know?
Precisely.
Yeah. Okay.
So for me, it would be a soundtrack to
John
Wick 3.
Soundtrack. I have this playlist called Songs About People. And it's just basically any song I find with a person's name. And a lot of the songs people know, you know, like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds or Hey Jude, you know, like these are classics. There's a song by Flower Face called Angela. It's quite nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So give it a listen, guys.
Yeah.
I feel like the songs are going to be so different.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On that note.
Right. Yes. Thanks very much for listening, guys.
Yeah. And prepare for part 3. We will try and fit the rest of the questions in there.
We probably need to make them shorter. Yeah?
Yeah.
Like snappy.
Yeah,
snappy answers.
Yeah, we'll try.
Right.
All right.
We can't promise anything, though.
And we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye.